again by Poetry Magazine, for over 90 years a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 18th of September, 2007. It was on this day in 1851, the first edition of the New York Times was published in a dirty, candle-lit office just off Wall Street by Henry J. Raymond, who had been fired by Horace Greeley at the New York Tribune, and Raymond intended the New York Times to put the Tribune out of business, which it did, but not in Raymond's lifetime. New York was a city of 500,000, many of them illiterate in English, dozens of newspapers already, and Raymond decided to model his on the London Times, which was known for its integrity and its lack of sensationalism. They put out 5,000 copies. They were sold on the street for a penny apiece. The paper soon had a circulation of 10,000. It did well among the educated and the affluent. But it fell on hard times in the 1890s, and it was bought on the cheap by Adolph Ox, who turned it into the most influential paper in the country, a conservative paper which rarely used big headlines and stuck with black and white photography until just 10 years ago. It was on this day in 1793 President George Washington led a procession of Masons wearing their Masonic aprons and laid the cornerstone of the Capitol building, which was designed as a much smaller building than the one we know because the senators and representatives had no offices. They simply worked at their desks on the floor of the House or the Senate. And the public area under the dome was a flea market where people sold everything from silk to machinery. The wings were then extended, and then a larger dome was installed in proportion to the wings, and the building we know was finished in the middle of the Civil War. Some people opposed spending money on a construction project in the middle of a war, but Lincoln thought the Capitol was a symbol that the Union would be preserved. And it's the birthday of one of the most often quoted persons in the English language, Dr. Samuel Johnson, born in Lichfield, England, 1709, who wrote a more comprehensive dictionary of the English language, which was full of quotations, including some of Samuel Johnson himself. Samuel Johnson, who said, "The true measure of a man is how he treats someone who can do him absolutely no good." Here's a poem for today by Ruth L. Schwartz, Highway 5 Love Poem for Anna. This is a love poem for all the tomatoes spread out in the fields along Highway 5, their gleaming green and ruddy faces like a thousand moons prostrate in praise of sun, and for every curd of cloud, clotted cream of cloud spooned briskly by an unseen hand into the great blue bowl, then out again into a greedy mouth. Cotton baled up beside the road altars to the patron saint of dry lint. Moist fudge of freshly planted dirt, shaggy, neglected, savage grasses bent into the wind's designs. Sheep scattered over the landscape like fuzzy confetti, or herded into stubbled funnels, moving like rough water toward its secret source. Egrets praying in the fields like white-cloaked priests. A dozen wise and ponderous cows suddenly spurred to run to gallop even down a flank of hill. Horses for sale, goats for sale, Nepalis for sale, orange groves for sale, topless trailers carrying horses, manes as loose and lovely as tomorrow in our mouths. And now a giant pig, jostling, majestic, in the open bed of a red pickup. Highway 5 Love Poem by Ruth L. Schwartz from Dear Good Naked Morning, published by Autumn House Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, sponsor of American Life and Poetry, bringing poetry to newspaper readers across the country. You can find it online at AmericanLifeAndPoetry.org. Our technical director is Thomas Scheutzker. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.